Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 8 again says, the word is nigh thee, it's near you, even in thy mouth. I want to preach on that today. Your miracle is in your mouth. Your miracle, it's in your mouth. Praise the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and we stand upon its promises today. Lord, you know I believe your word. I preach your word. We receive your word today. And God, I pray that you would confirm your word with signs following in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would transform our way of speaking. I pray that you would transform our thoughts. I pray, God, that you would help us to speak the word of faith today and to see great and mighty signs and miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise and all the worship and all the glory today. Come on, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you today. Hey, everybody. I want you to hear something today. I want you to know something this day. There is power in what we say. Our words are powerful. What comes out of our mouth affects our lives. Proverbs 18 and 21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life, they are in the power of the tongue. What we say can produce death, or it can produce life. And if we're going to eat the fruit of what we say, well, we better be sure we're speaking something that we want to eat the fruit of. How many times have we looked back and remembered something that we said? Maybe it was something many years ago. It could have been something good. It could have been something, maybe it was something bad that we said without really thinking it through. And those words had a lasting effect upon our lives. They impacted things. It could have taken just 10 seconds to say it, but 10 years later, the effects are still there. Words are powerful. Someone once said, words are free. It's how we use them that may cost us. Isn't that the truth? Proverbs 141 verse 3 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Some people need to pray that prayer a little more often, don't they? Set a watch, O Lord. God, I need you to set a guard over my mouth. I need you to take control of what I say, Lord. Guard the door of my lips. Protect what comes out of my mouth. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. I tell you, God, you've got to help us. Help us to say the right things. Stop us from saying the wrong things. Let us say things that you are pleased with. God, when our flesh wants to speak its mind, boy, that gets us into trouble. When our flesh wants to speak its mind, Lord, I pray that you would stop those words from coming out of my mouth. If I'm going to say something that doesn't line up with your word, oh God, then I pray that you would keep the door of my lips. Set a watch over my mouth. Oh, it's just words. Just words. They're just things I say when I get upset. Just something that comes out of my mouth when I'm frustrated. Just words that, well, I talk about it when I'm mad at somebody and I want to tear them down. It's just words. They don't really mean all that much. No, that's not true. They're not just words. They are the expression of what we think. It's the expression of our innermost thoughts. It's the declaration of what's in our hearts. Words are the formulation of what we intend to do. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Words have power. Jesus said in Matthew 15:11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles us, but it's what comes out. If we have a problem today with what's coming out of our mouth, I tell you, it's more than just words. It's more than just speech. It's more than just talking. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Amen. It's not just words, but those words reveal what's in our heart. And if we're speaking the wrong things, then we've got to get to the root cause, because it's nothing other than a heart issue. Our words can either make us or break us. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. In other words, we are trapped by the words of our mouth. We are caught by the words that we've spoken. Words have the power to bring life. Words have the power to bring death. What we speak can either bring life to something or it can cause things to die. It's all in the power of our tongue. Oh, I really didn't mean anything when I said that. It was just something we said in passing. It was just something that we spoke without really thinking. It really wasn't important. It was just words. There's a real scary verse in Matthew 12:36. Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's concerning. That's alarming, to think that in the day of judgment, we're going to give account for the things that we said, even for idle words. God takes notice of every word that we say, even those that we don't notice ourselves, even the words that we say when nobody else is around. Idle talk, careless talk, worthless talk, it's displeasing unto God. I tell you, there are some conversations it's not going to do us any good to get involved with. It's idle talk. It really doesn't matter. It's better to just keep our mouth shut. James had a lot to say about the power of the tongue. James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Wow. If someone seems to be religious, but they don't control their tongue, they deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. It's useless. Because there's power in what we speak. If words are this powerful, if words are this important in life, if they're this important to God, if they have the power to shape our lives, if words have the power to condemn us or to save us, then we need to pay attention to the words that we speak. Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Help me not to speak the things that I shouldn't. Help us to speak the things we should. I believe God wants us to consider our words today, because not only do our words have the power to impact our lives negatively, but there is also an unbelievable power to shape our future just by the words that we speak. And if somebody can get this today, if you can get this, I believe you can go from speaking things that are depressing, things that are distressing, things that are disheartening, things that are dismal and dreary, to speaking things that are uplifting, things that are encouraging, things that are helpful and promising. Instead of being condemned by the words that come out of our mouth, we can be inspired, we can be motivated, and faith can be activated. By what we speak, it has power. Somebody today, you need to say, my miracle is in my mouth. If you don't believe that today, then before we leave, I pray that every single person in this place would realize the power that you have in your mouth, the ability to speak faith or fear, encouragement or discouragement, joy or sorrow, confidence or worry. The choice is ours. We've just got to realize the power in what we speak. And we've got to start speaking the things that God would speak. We've got to start speaking things that are based on His word, things that are based on who He is. Oh, I tell you, we have a limited ability in ourselves. We have limited power in ourselves. But when we start speaking the things that God speaks, when we start speaking the things that are in His word, things that are based on His power, things that are based on His ability, things that are based on His strength, then all of a sudden something is activated and the word of faith goes forth and it has creative ability. Looking at our text again, Romans 10 and 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. What is it? That is the word of faith, which we preach. Here Paul says, he says, the word is near to you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's the word of faith that we preach. The word of faith is near to you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. Today, I believe God is going to do one of two things. He's either going to remind us of some things that He has put into our heart. Maybe it was long ago. Some promises that He spoke to us and put in our heart. Come on, somebody. God has spoken some promises. God has spoken some things to us. Maybe it's some things that we've forgotten about. It was so long ago that we forgot about it. But He's going to remind us of it today. Maybe it's something you've just given up on and you think it'll never come to pass. But God's going to bring that to remembrance today. Or secondly, maybe God is going to speak to someone in this house. He's going to put something in your heart before you leave here. It's a promise from God. It's a miracle that He's going to perform. It's some direction that you need for the future, and it's going to be in your heart. But you see, God never does something without giving us something to do as well. And we're going to have to speak it. We've got to speak what God puts in our heart. It's not enough just for it to be in our heart. But there's power when we speak it. The miracle is in your mouth. Paul goes on in verse 9. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. One thing we need to remember, Paul was writing to people who were in the church in Rome. He was writing to people who were already in the church. They were already born again. They had repented of their sins and been baptized in Jesus' name. They'd been filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this was not a new plan of salvation that Paul was giving. But he was telling to those that were already in the church, he says, here's what you need to do to make it. Here's what you need to do. You need to confess with your mouth. What are we to confess? First of all, we need to confess that we need God. We need God. We can't make it without him. We are nothing besides what he has made us to be. And we need his power. We need his strength. We need his forgiveness. We need his help, his love, his anointing. I just confess it today. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. I can't make it without him. I go crazy if I don't have his touch. I'm so depressed if I can't pray and feel his presence and have his word speaking into my life. I need the Lord. And then we need to confess Jesus Christ. We are to live it and we are to tell it. We need to be telling everybody about the love of Jesus. We need to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with every person that we meet. We need the love of Jesus to flow through us, to touch every single person. And here's how it happens. We confess the Lord. This past week, my uncle, Brother Daryl McCoy, who is on our council of elders here, and he's also the interim pastor of our church here. He drove from Texas and stayed the night here, and then we went to the general conference together. He got in sometime late, I guess that was Monday night, and then we left Tuesday to go to St. Louis, and then he had something very, very special happen. You see, my uncle believes this, that you need to confess Jesus Christ. And he has a way of every single person he meets making a connection with them. So he stayed at a hotel here in town, and the next morning went down to breakfast before he left, and before he'd left that hotel, he had impacted 3 or 4 different families of the employees of that hotel. He got to talking to them, some of the workers. He got to tell them about our church, got to tell them about the pastor and his wife and family, and those people were so excited to find out about this church and find out about these people, and he just made a connection with them. It was later that day that I realized I got a notification on Facebook, and somebody new had gone and liked our church Facebook page. They may be listening today, I don't know. And they were so excited about meeting us. And they said, well, you've got to come back. They told him, you've got to come back. And he said, well, I'm headed out of town. And he changed his plans and was able to come back and stay again Wednesday night. And made an appointment to see all these people again Thursday morning for breakfast. And he said, Pastor McCoy, Sister McCoy, you got to come by and meet these people. We weren't able to do it then. But I stopped by the hotel this Sunday morning, and I got to meet 2 of those ladies that were so excited. Why? Because somebody was confessing the love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want to tell you, sometimes we're so busy. We're too busy for our own good. We're too busy to realize there are people who want what we have. There are people that they're hurting inside. They're hungry for something more. And all we've got to do is just take a little time to confess Jesus Christ to them. We met them for lunch. That was my mother and father-in-law's pastor, my wife's pastor, and And so we met for lunch later that day. And we're sitting there, and a waitress comes and helps us out, and he just kind of says a little comment here or there. And before the meal was over, she's giving us her cell phone number. We're making plans to get together. She's got some kids, and Sister McCoy's like, well, if you ever need help with the kids, and oh, yes, and now there's connections on Facebook, and I want to tell you what all it is just, and it's not that you have to go and stand on a street corner somewhere and preach that everybody's going to hell. There may be a place for that. Apparently there is downtown Springfield. I've seen some of them. But I don't think they're winning a whole lot of converts. If they would just change strategies and go to a coffee shop and look for somebody who's by themselves and just kind of sit down and just make a little comment here or there, and the door begins to open, and go to a restaurant and instead of treating that person like a servant, treat them like they're another human being. I tell you, one of the best things we can do when we go to a restaurant, when we go to a hotel, when we go somewhere like that and there is someone working in the service industry, honor them. Give them a tip that's worth remembering. Oh, but Pastor, I can't afford it. Well, then you can't afford to go out to eat. If we can't afford to give a tip that's more than 15%, it should be, I believe it should be more than 20%. Be generous. Amen. But if we can't afford to do that, we can't afford to go out to eat. I don't want people in this city to think, oh, here comes some Pentecostals. I'm rambling, but that's good. I want to tell you, the word of faith is near to you. It's in your mouth. If you'll start declaring it, if you'll start confessing Jesus Christ, if you'll start telling people about his love and his power and his goodness, your miracle is in your mouth. Well, I'm shy, Pastor. Well, we got to get past that. I'm shy too, but I've had to learn to get over that because we've got something good to tell. We've got some good news to share. I've got something that can change the world. It's changed my life. It's changed your life. And it's going to change Springfield. We're going to reach people for Jesus Christ. Amen. Your miracle is in your mouth. Let's go to some examples in the Word of God. Let's start at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. He said it. He spoke it. It was the word of God. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, this was the first day. If you read through Genesis chapter 1, God didn't create the sun and the moon until the fourth day. So where did the light come from? I don't know. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. There's not a natural explanation, but all I know, it was spoken into existence by the Word of God. His Word has such creative power that He didn't need the sun to shine. He didn't need the moon to light the darkness. He spoke it, and it was. Throughout creation, we see him speaking things into existence. He spoke the atmosphere into being. He spoke and dry land appeared. The waters and the land divided. He spoke grass and trees and plants into existence. He spoke the sun and the moon into existence. The birds of the air, the fish of the sea. He spoke animals into being. All it took was his word. He spoke it and it happened. God's word has creative power. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And we are created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. If God's word has such creative power, and if we are created in the image of God, then we need to understand there is power in our words as well. There is creative power in our words. When God wanted something done, he would speak it. And it happened. That was his pattern from the very beginning of how to get things accomplished. And we need to take notice of that because we are created in the image of God. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If you say unto the mountain, if you speak unto the mountain, I tell you today, words have power. Words have power. He used words to command the wind and the waves. He spoke to a tree and it withered away. He spoke a rebuke to a fever and the fever left. He spoke the words, just the words, Lazarus come forth, and a dead man got up out of the grave and lived again. I've come to tell somebody today, your miracle is in your mouth. Your miracle is in your mouth. You need to stop speaking fear and doubt and unbelief, and you need to start speaking faith. You need to start speaking the promises of God. You need to start declaring his word. Your miracle is in your mouth. You know, most people who are sick, they only talk to God about their sickness. And yes, God heals sickness. But sometimes we might need to talk directly to our sickness. Did you ever think about that? We talk about our sickness. We complain about our sickness. We beg God for healing over our sickness. Maybe we just need to get faith and boldness and start speaking to our sickness. We have the right to rebuke sickness and command it to leave our bodies. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I tell you, sometimes I don't know if I'm sick. I don't know if I've got anything in my body that's out of order, but I say, Lord, if there's anything in my body that's not right, if there's any sickness, come on. If there's any cancer, I curse it right now in the name of Jesus, and I command it to leave. There's sometimes I don't even know if there's anything, but I say I speak life to this body right now. I speak life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And simply by speaking the word of faith and healing to our body, it can set things into motion. You know, the devil likes to talk to us. He likes to fill our minds with doubt and fear and torment. It's torment. The enemy's been talking to you for a long time. But maybe it's time you start talking back to the devil. Yeah, talking back. Yeah, we're taught, don't talk back. I'm giving us permission today. You can talk back.
to the devil.
Amen. When Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, the devil said to Jesus, and Jesus said to the devil, and he won the battle by speaking the word to him. We have the ability to speak things into existence. Our words have creative power. We need to be careful about what we say about the future. We need to be careful about what we prophesy about our lives, what we speak into existence. We have the ability to speak words that are powerful. So speak things of faith. Read with me in Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Stop speaking doubt and fear. Stop speaking unbelief. Stop declaring the negative. Stop all of that and start speaking the word of faith, the word of truth, a word of encouragement, a word of victory. Your miracle is in your mouth. Look at another example with me. David faced off with the giant Goliath. Now, Goliath was more experienced. He was better equipped. He was much larger than David. The odds were not in David's favor. But it wasn't coincidence that that little shepherd boy looked at that great big giant and said, you know what? This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. And I will smite you and take your head from you and give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all of the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. It wasn't coincidence that David declared that with his mouth. The miracle was in his mouth. He could have talked defeat. Everybody else was. He could have said, oh, you're so big and I'm so small. You're a great warrior and I don't know anything about battle. I'm so scared. I'm so inadequate. I'm so insignificant. And that would have had a different outcome that day. But he spoke the word of faith. He had to speak it. I will defeat you. I will take your head from you. I will feed your body to the birds and the beasts. Come on, somebody, you may be facing some giants in your life today. You may be facing a giant that's causing fear and doubt and terror. It's trying to make you discouraged, to get you to quit, to defeat you, to destroy your family. It's a giant. That's what giants do. That's what giants do. That cause terror, that cause fear, that cause problems. It may be a financial situation, maybe a marriage problem, it may be an addiction, problems in the home, something your children are going through. Whatever the giant is, like David, you need to speak to it. You'll not defeat me. You're not going to destroy me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm coming through this. My family is going to make it. My marriage is going to be blessed. I've got the blessings of God on my side. Giant, you're not going to destroy me, but I'm going to have victory. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to live a victorious life. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be saved. Somebody start declaring it right now. Come on, your miracle is in your mouth. Your miracle is in your mouth. You've been waiting on your miracle. Well, the miracle's waiting on you. You got to start speaking it. You got to start declaring it today. We know the Bible says if two would agree as touching anything that they ask God for, that it shall be done. Let me ask us here today,
What if you don't have anybody to agree with you? What do you do? David didn't have anybody to agree with him. Think about it. His brothers looked down on him. They wished this kid would just get out of their way. His father thought he was too small, too insignificant. King Saul didn't think he had a chance. Nobody was there to encourage him. No one was there to speak faith. Not one person. And there may be times that we can't find anyone to agree with us for our miracle, but we can come into agreement with ourselves. We can get our heart and our mouth to agree. We're to agree. You need to get your heart, but it's not enough just for the heart. But you got to get your mouth to agree. The heart and the mouth, when they come into agreement and when you speak the word of faith, come on, it's near. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And if we can start speaking victory and healing and breakthrough and miracles, if we can start talking about what's going to happen, if we can say it before we see it. David was there with all the armies of Israel and the Philistines. They were all watching, but he had the confidence to say it all in front of them. They made fun of him. Goliath, he almost fell over laughing. King Saul thought, this kid is dead. His brothers, they were trying to figure out how they were going to go home and tell dad about their brother who died facing a giant. People around you may not see it. They may not have the faith for it, but don't let them talk us out of what God has put in our heart. And just like David, we need to keep speaking victory in spite of what others may say. You keep on declaring it. You stand on the promises of God. It will happen. We give life to what we speak. If we start speaking the negative and agreeing with doubt and talking about how big our obstacle is, we're giving life to our giant. But when we speak faith, we are releasing something into existence and we're giving life to a miracle. Zechariah, the angel said, you're going to have a baby. Zechariah said, are you sure you know what you're talking about? And the angel said, because you doubted, you're not going to be able to speak. That's how powerful words are. God has put dreams and promises into our spirit. Some of them may seem impossible. Don't do like Zechariah and talk yourself out of a miracle, but get an agreement with God. God has done his part. Now it's up to us. Your miracle is in your mouth. Mary became pregnant, not from a man, but by a word from God. And when God wants to create, he doesn't use material things, but he uses words. She could have argued, but instead she said, be it unto me according to thy word. She got an agreement with God. She used her words to confirm it. And when God puts a promise in our heart, we need to agree with it. We need to speak it. We need to act on it. Sometimes God, he speaks things that don't make sense. Our mind can't figure it out. How's it going to happen, Lord? How's it going to, Lord, I don't understand. Sometimes you've got to speak it by faith when we don't understand it. You've heard the saying, tell it like it is. Just tell it like it is. Sometimes we don't need to tell it like it is. Words are serious business. Paul wrote in Romans, He said, we should call those things which be not as though they were. We've got to reprogram our minds because we've spent our whole life telling it like it is. We've used our mouth to report the negative and all the bad things going on around us, all of the challenges that we're up against. It sounds crazy to call things that are not as though they are. You mean I'm supposed to say I'm healed? When I'm feeling sick, I'm supposed to say I'm rich when I'm poor. That sounds like telling a lie. No, it's different. A lie is meant to deceive. A lie is meant to get someone to believe something that's not true. But to speak faith is to speak words that agree with the Word of God. Words that agree with God instead of our circumstances. Sometimes we don't need to tell it like it is because our circumstances don't add up with what the Word of God has promised is going to come to pass. And sometimes we need to speak the word of faith. It's speaking it from our spirit instead of speaking it from our mind. We go around a lot of times speaking whatever we think up here. We've got to stop that. Don't tell it like it is, but speak what you feel in your spirit. Speak what God has told you. Speak what you've read and the promises in the Word of God. Second Corinthians 4:13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed. And therefore have I spoken." We also believe and therefore speak. I believe and therefore I have spoken. We need to bring our mouth and our heart into alignment with the Word of God. Stop telling it like it is and start speaking the promises of God. Start believing His Word. Your miracle is in your mouth. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, what about this name and claim it stuff? You know, what's all that about? There's a difference in declaring what our flesh wants and then wanting God to back it up. There's a difference in that and declaring God's word. Well, I'm going to have a red Lamborghini when I walk out of the church today. It's going to be waiting for me. I'm going to get home today. There's going to be a check for $1 million. Sometimes we don't get what we pray for because we ask amiss so that we can consume it on our own lust and flesh. There's a difference in just declaring what our flesh wants and then sometimes in prayer, and sometimes it's a long sleepless night because we're going through things, or maybe we're reading the Word of God and all of a sudden something will just pop out to us from His Word and God speaks something into our heart. Hallelujah. I believe in the favor of the Lord. I've had checks that have come in the mail unexpected. I've had a car given to me. It wasn't a brand new one, and it wasn't a Lamborghini. And I've given a car to somebody. And I know that that lady, we gave it to her. It was a waitress we met in and we had a card that we were going to sell, and we all of a sudden, my wife and I said, let's give it to them. And I know that was an answer to her prayers. I believe in the favor of the Lord. I believe the favor of the Lord is upon His people. But sometimes we don't get prayers answered because we ask amiss. But when God puts it in our heart, you cling to that. And you speak the word of faith and you declare it. Would you stand with me tonight, today? Hallelujah. Don't tell it like it is. Tell what the word says. Tell what God has put in our heart. Oh, by your stripes, I am healed. By your stripes, I am healed. Somebody right now, the miracle's in your mouth. If you need healing today, you need to speak it. By your stripes, Lord, I am healed. Come on, can you feel that? Come on, if you would speak that, I believe that there'll be healing virtue that flows in this house. By your stripes, I am healed. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Come on, your miracle is in your mouth. Your miracle is in your mouth. I will live and not die. I will live and not die. I speak a word of faith over our lives. I speak a word of faith over our bodies. I speak a word of faith over our families, over our children, over our marriages. I speak a word of faith over our finances today. Come on, there's a miracle in your mouth. It's waiting to be released. Every day you need to declare it. You need to speak faith. I am free. I am healed. I chains are broken. Strongholds are loose. You prophesy it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my help. He is my savior. He is my deliverer. God is my healer. Declare it with your mouth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody needs to say this. I will lend and not borrow. I will lend and not borrow. Come on, you've been borrowing long enough. God wants to turn that around. I will lend and not borrow. I will be above and not beneath. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, you need faith as a mustard seed, but then you need to say to the mountain, you've got to speak it. The miracle is in your mouth, and you've got to say to the mountain, you've got to speak to the giant. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody today, you need to repent for some words you've been speaking. You need to repent for the things of doubt and fear and unbelief that have been coming out of your mouth. Come on, start speaking faith. Get rid of I can't. Get rid of I can't. That doesn't match the promises of God. God's word says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Speak it with your mouth. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, I pray in this house today that you would bring remembrance of some things that you have spoken to our hearts. Maybe it was a long time ago, but God, I pray that you would refresh. God, reawaken that in our mind today. Help us, Lord, to remember that promise you gave us and to speak a word of faith. And Lord, there are those in this house that need direction. They need deliverance. They need help. They need healing in their body. I pray that you would speak that to their heart right now. And God, I pray that you'd help us to respond with faith in this house, that we would speak the word of faith, that we would declare it with our mouth, that we would put it into motion by speaking it here today in Jesus' name. Come on, you speak it. I am healed in the name of Jesus. I'm delivered in the name of Jesus. Devil, you've been talking to me. I'm going to talk back to you right now. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Spirit of fear, you have plagued me long enough. God's not given me the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on. Come on, somebody. Your miracle is in your mouth. I want them to begin to sing and worship God. And whatever you need from the Lord, I want you to begin to speaking it today in Jesus' name.